This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Cigarette smoking has fallen to its lowest level in the United States in more than 60 years. But even as fewer adults light up, e-cigarette use continues to climb, particularly among younger Americans. New data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows the number of adults exclusively using e-cigarettes more than tripled from 2017 to 2023, with the sharpest increases among younger adults. Public health officials say that shift offsets much of the progress made in reducing tobacco use overall, raising new concerns about nicotine addiction and the long-term health effects of vaping. Delaware Public Media's Joey Irizarry caught up this week with Dr. Victor Banzon, a pulmonary medicine specialist at Beebe Healthcare, to discuss what's fueling this rise in vaping among young people and efforts to address it.
Doctor, we're seeing a steady decline in cigarette smoking, according to new data from the CDC, but vaping is still headed in the opposite direction, especially among younger adults. What do you make of that, and what's driving that trend?
It's a very good question. Vaping, as you know, has been a big subject and a serious subject, especially amongst the adolescent population. The New England Journal of Medicine had a significant article in 2020 that looked at vaping deaths called e-cigarette vaping acute lung injury. And especially in the Midwest, there was a lot of reported acute respiratory distress syndrome amongst the teenage world. And that was the focus at that time, late 2019 and early 2020. Unfortunately, the same time frame of COVID. And once COVID hit, we kind of put vaping-induced lung disease on the back burner on the shelf. I think COVID took precedent, which it should. And now with COVID being stabilized, you're right. We are looking at a resurgence of adolescents using vaping products as a means to be cool, be part of the gang, peer pressure. Statistically, there has been reports from the CDC that smoking cessation has improved with the help of vaping products. We do know that vaping has improved the outcomes of smoking cessation amongst smokers in the adult population. But with that use of vaping in that realm, we have seen an increase of use of vaping, especially amongst the adolescent population. In the United States, the highest belt of location for smoking is Kentucky, Tennessee, and West Virginia, and part of Delaware. We're very close to that area. Unfortunately, it is underestimated the degree of adolescents who are using vaping products. The products that we see that are really detrimental to the adolescents is not necessarily the nicotine that they put in. And some people also use the vaping products for using cannabis products. But it's really the other products that are dangerous, called the vitamin E or the hydrocarbons. These are the ones that are known to cause significant lung disease and acute respiratory distress syndrome. Interestingly, I had a patient of mine who told me that they found out that their 14-year-old son was using vaping, and the son has asthma. And they, you know, they did parental discussion asking him, well, how long has this been going on? Since the age of almost 12 and a half, and he felt peer pressure.
Well, some people also turn to e-cigarettes, believing they're a safer alternative to smoking. Are the health risks associated with smoking lowered when vaping, or does it remain the same?
Excellent question. And again, the data out there is significant. When the New England Journal of Medicine article came out in adolescence, there was 19 reported acute lung injury cases. And again, it is because of the substance that is in the vaping products, such as the vitamin E acetate, the hydrocarbons, other fillers that manufacturers are putting into the vaping products that is very dangerous and can worsen patients who have underlying or unsuspected lung disease, such as asthma, or bronchiectasis, or even cystic fibrosis. So I would say that vaping technically is not a safer mode of using nicotine than cigarettes because of the risk factors of developing acute lung injury and worsening asthma and worsening underlying respiratory diseases.
Now, when people are smoking cigarettes and they turn to vaping, is that like a gateway to possibly stop smoking completely? And, or vice versa, when people go to vaping first, is that also a gateway maybe to cigarettes? Do you know how that works?
The marketing of vaping companies have marketed it as a way to promote smoking cessation. The data on smoking cessation, right now, the CDC has reported that smoking cessation has declined with the use of vaping, but you are correct that vaping does cause in adolescents a gateway to using either marijuana through the vaping or leading to other modalities of smoke related products, such as tobacco products. So it is a very difficult time in our society as to what the ramifications of vaping is, especially amongst the adolescents.
You touched on this in your first answer, but from a clinical perspective, have you seen more patients experiencing health issues linked to vaping in recent years?
It's amazing the number of patients I see daily, and we discuss with them their smoking cessation efforts, and they tell me they stopped smoking and they're not using any products. But guess what? When I examine them and they have in their pocket a vaping product, and then I look at it and I confront them, or I say, hey, that's a vape. Oh, I forgot about this. So again, it is something that is underestimated and not forthcoming amongst patients on the degree of how much they use vaping products. And I think it is a problem in the United States.
One of the concerns health officials have raised is that the rise in vaping has chipped away at the overall progress made in reducing traditional smoking and tobacco use. How significant is that setback from your view?
The American Thoracic Society, American College of Chest Physicians, smoking cessation is well documented. Each time a patient comes in, we review the five A's of smoking cessation, which is ask, assess, advise, assist, and accomplish. And then there was a study called EAGLES, which was called the Evaluation of Adverse Global Lung Smoking Cessation Efforts. This was a JAMA article which showed that dual therapy with nicotine replacement with Chantix or Wellbutrin had better outcomes. This was in 2016 in JAMA, and the previous side effects of Chantix or Wellbutrin was not substantiated. When patients come into my office, I go over the five A's with them. I tell them that the data with dual therapy, with nicotine replacement, with another medication has better outcomes. The reality is patients listen to that, but the nicotine addiction is very difficult, and it is very difficult for patients to stop nicotine replacement or the need for nicotine. Vaping is an easy out because patients don't want to necessarily listen about five A's. They don't want to hear beyond the nicotine gum or patch, and they don't want to be on medication, so they use vaping as a next tool. Again, vaping has shown to reduce smoking, But unfortunately, it has those other potential issues with lung injury and worsening respiratory issues with asthma and worsening COPD because of the products that are additionally in the vaping system.
In terms of how this is being addressed, what kinds of prevention and education efforts are happening right now here in Delaware or nationally to curb vaping among young people, and what seems to be working?
That is a very good question. When you get a habit-forming process amongst teenagers and adolescents, it kind of takes off. Legally, again, I know that there is a Supreme Court hearing looking at e-cigarette companies and determining what the FDA is going to approve or not allow them to promote and determine the risk factors and the risk to adolescents in the United States. I don't know what or when that hearing is going to be taking place, but I think it's a step forward that the government, both on a state and federal level, needs to understand the clinical implications and the risk factors for our adolescent population who are becoming early adults. So that's one aspect. Again, parental guidance and supervision and questioning the adolescents what they're doing. And sometimes if they're very suspicious, I think you need to make the next step forward is to have a significant discussion with that adolescent about what they're truly doing, as the case of my patient who found out that his son was vaping for over a year and a half.
Thanks to BB Healthcare Pulmonary Medicine Specialist Dr. Victor Banzon and our Joey Irizarry for joining us on The Green this week. Up next, Art's Playlist and a trip to Sussex County, where the Southern Delaware Orchestra is tuning up for its spring concert series. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.